Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, I'm Josh, and I'm here in Makerfield. This is election day, and I've been here for a full week now, and I suppose I'm going to walk through my overall impressions from this week I've been here, because it's been a bit of a mixed bag. Today, my experience was that we had a sheet where we were knocking on doors of people who were either considering to vote for us or had agreed to vote for us, and some of them had even said they were voting Labour, which was a little bit confusing because you wouldn't think that would be the case. It could just be a case of someone recording bad data when they were around canvassing, but it was a little bit demoralising. But on the other hand, I've spoke to some other people who've had some great results, one household with four votes, entire streets voting for Restore, and so it's been really interesting. And it's to the point now where I think that there's the promise of a pretty decent result. And I think that it might not be the case that Labour are going to lose, because I think that their on-the-ground game was very strong here. And I hardly saw any Reform canvassers where I was today, and yet I saw maybe 50 or 60 Labour canvassers. And so it seems like they've really mobilised people, being close to Manchester, Andy Burnham being the mayor of Manchester and being close to so many Labour areas, I think has paid off for them. And so they've had lots of volunteers. And I think that it's the case that these Labour voters around here have really been mobilised in a way that Reform has not. And so I think there's going to be a bit of a difference there between both Reform and Labour. But my guess would be, in my experience here, on the outset of knowing the results, my prediction is that it's probably going to be Burnham winning, Reform with a sizeable proportion, and maybe Restore third. But I think that the point for Restore and what they want to be doing here is that they're going to be getting a good showing. Double digits, I think, would be a real achievement. And I think that it'll prove that the party has the ability to turn people out for the election. And that's something that I think is a very good thing for them, because they've only been around for a short while, and so if they get over 10%, then that shows that they can actually turn what has been described as an online echo chamber into real electoral power. And the fact that what happened in Great Yarmouth, where they won 10 out of 10 elections, isn't just a one-off, and that they can actually influence national elections. And so that's the interesting thing, as well as the fact that Andy Burnham may well get in and challenge Keir Starmer's leadership. And so my overall impression is that it's a little bit difficult to predict Restore's percentage, but I think that looking at the number of Labour signs everywhere, the enthusiasm for Labour here, and the fact that they're able to turn out so many people on the ground suggests that they're going to do quite well. And I would be surprised if they lost. But I don't think that was necessarily a surprise either, because it's one of those constituencies that's always been a strong Labour vote. And so that is my overall impression. So, by the way, it is a Thursday night. It's about 6:15, and we've already got people vomiting behind me in the pub behind. If that gives you an idea of the kind of area we're in, I suppose that's something. But actually, the people here have been very nice. I had a case where a Reform voter took pity on me. So, like, it's a really hot day here. I'll give you a can of Iron Brew so you're not thirsty. And so people are generally quite nice. I've had lots of nice chats with people. And even some of the Labour canvassers stopped and had a chat. Had a moment earlier on today where Rupert came along and joined us, and he had a sort of very pleasant chat with an older Labour canvasser, and she was saying how she appreciated how he was willing to just talk to her civilly. And Rupert was saying, oh, well, you know, we're British, we've got to be civil to people, even if we disagree. And there were even people accosting us in the street when they found out we were Restore. But you know, it's actually quite rare, and people have been on the whole very friendly here, which is quite something because, you know, you'd think in an area with a high percentage of Labour voters, you might face some hostility. And although I've had maybe one or two doors slammed in my face, no one's been rude, no one's sworn at me, at least when I've been knocking on their door. Although I think one thing that has been overlooked by a lot of parties is that people have been a little bit oversaturated with canvassing and leaflets. There was one woman who was telling me that, I think I'm going to vote Restore, but I'm almost thinking I'm not going to vote at all because I've had so many leaflets through my door that a small forest has been cut down just to provide them. And had one woman saying that she'd had five people knock on her door in one day. So I think if anything, the people of Makerfield are going to be very glad very soon to stop having so much post and stop having so many annoying canvassers knocking on their doors, no matter the result. And of course, this is just a product of the fact that there aren't any other elections really going on, and all of the party's attention is on here. You've got Reform, Restore and Labour with a strong ground game, and yeah, it's sort of wound some people up, but even so, generally speaking, people have been pretty warm. Hello, I'm here with Lewis Brackpool. You may recognise him. He's featured on Lotus Eaters many times, and of course he is the head of investigations at Restore Britain, but he's also been on the doors a lot. How have you found it?
Well, it's good to see you, Josh, and also thank you very much for coming up, and thanks for Lotus Eaters for coming up and covering this important by-election. Do you know what? I'll be honest, I've had a really fun week. It's been really fun to not just knock on doors but meet the people of Makerfield, who are incredibly friendly. I've never been to this part of Manchester or Wigan before, but it was also nice to see everyone and get together and to be knocking on doors and just to, you know, fight in this election. It's been fun. It's also been tough, to be totally honest with you. We're going into a Labour stronghold, and you can really see the divide between, I'm going to say it, classes. When you go to the middle class areas and places where you find that there's a lot of money, you find that the overwhelming people are supporting Burnham. You see a lot of Burnham signs everywhere. You get the odd Reform signs, but also you do find some Restorers there too. However, it's predominantly Burnham. But then when you go to the lower class areas, or the areas where it's lower economic areas, you do find that you have whole streets wanting to vote Restore, and it's a toss-up between that and Reform. So we've been pounding the doors for the week, or week and a half, because we spent a first weekend here up in Makerfield, and we found that speaking to Reform voters, the biggest narrative that is being pushed on us is the split the vote narrative, and I'm sure you've come in contact with that particular narrative too. My response has always been, regardless of what happens in this election, by 2029, Labour will still be in power. So now is your prime opportunity to vote for someone who you actually believe. And it's found to be working on the doors, and a lot of Reformers sit there and think, yes, you're actually correct. We've printed out these big leaflets which show the differentiation between Restore and Reform. You can make a little quiz and tick off the ones that you agree with. And it shows the difference between Reform and Restore. Because there's a lot of chatter online to say that we're almost the same party, which we're not. In fact, Reform are playing catch-up with a lot of our policies. I'm sure you found that as well, right?
Yes, and in fact, I found it interesting that there's a lot of sympathy from people in Reform to Restore. I've had maybe one person who was actually angry at Restore for splitting the vote, but most people sort of understand why the party exists and are sympathetic. In fact, I had a good instance where someone gave me a can of drink just to keep me going, even though they were a Reform voter and already voted. And, you know, there are people giving me words of encouragement saying, "Oh, you're doing a good job. I hope you do well," and things like that. And so they're very sympathetic.
There's others as well, I found. There are Reformers out there that will say, "I'm not going to vote for you this time, but I will in 2029, because they feel that we're not ready, in which we are ready. And it's just dispelling that myth on the doors and speaking to people. We found that that's been the case a couple of times, which has been interesting. We also had an interesting lady on the door in a very stronghold Labour area where this woman had voted for Labour for most of her life. And she originally believed that Burnham would somehow resurrect the old guard of the Labour Party all over again. To which she then saw our leaflet on what we stood for, things such as reversing mass migration, the death penalty, etc. And she realised, oh, actually, I quite like what you're saying. And even though she said that she had voted Labour for most of her life, she then on the doors converted to being a Restorer. So that was really fascinating. And that was down to my good friend and esteemed colleague Harrison Pitt, who made that pitch. So it's been a very, very interesting week. It shows that people online, especially from the Reform side, believe that we're going to get around sort of 5% because of that Servation poll that came out from The Times and Farage as well, posting that around along with their leaflet saying that we're on 5%. I'm way, way, way more optimistic that we're in double figures, sort of mid double figures. I would, if I was a betting man, I'm not, but if I was a betting man, I would put it sort of mid double figures, sort of 10 to 20.
So one thing that I found interesting that you mentioned that I've also picked up on is the difference between the area you're canvassing in terms of social class, whether it's more working class or middle class. Yes. The middle class tends to show out a lot more for Labour, and the working class seems to be, you know, either Reform or Restore. There's still some Labour sprinkled in there. Yeah. What do you think is actually behind this difference?
I think the betrayal from the political establishment, the media, who just see the working class as just rabble, thugs as well, painted by the media, and very key issues that haven't had the electorate vote for, such as mass immigration, housing, etc., have really contributed to these voters turning the other way from traditional Labour voting intentions. I mean, who'd have thought that the middle class would be going for Labour in a by-election such as this, but the working class going for us new guys on the block? 30 years ago, you wouldn't have seen that, I wouldn't have thought, where, you know, 97, Blair came in and a lot of people, especially the working class, were voting for a Labour government. But the betrayal from not just Labour, but Tories as well, for their 14 years of reign, where nothing happened. They could have repealed legislation from the Tony Blair era tenfold, but they chose not to do it. So I do think that it's all down to betrayal. Issues such as mass immigration that the public were never asked and continue to never be asked, and we're the only people outside of the establishment that will give them a voice.
Thank you very much. That was Lewis Brackpool, Head of Investigations at Restore Britain, and thank you very much for talking with me.
Thank you very much.
I'm here with Sammy Woodhouse, who was the lead of the rape gang inquiry. And first of all, thank you very much for talking to me. And the first thing I'd like to ask you is, how are you feeling now that the report is finally out?
I'm very relieved that the report is out. We started the inquiry about 15 months ago. It's been a very long and difficult 15 months. But you know, we've been doing a lot of hard work behind the scenes, and we've been working with people that have never ever been given the opportunity to tell their side of the stories. So for some of the survivors that we're working with, this moment is absolutely huge, and it's been an absolute pleasure to be able to work with them. But our work is far from over. You know, this is only stage two. So back in February, we had our two-week hearings, which was chaired by our barrister, Graham Smith. And now the report's out, our next stages will be naming people involved in Parliament and then private prosecutions.
And of course, there were criticisms that there weren't any statutory implications, but of course, the report has to exist in the first place because the government has dragged its feet and delayed an inquiry. And it's not the kind of thing that you need to delay, really. It's something that needs immediate action. And of course, the fact that the people are going to be named and there are going to be private prosecutions on the back of this shows that there is actually impact here beyond just showcasing the testimony of the victims, which is no small thing in and of itself, as well as providing novel descriptions of the phenomenon, as well as giving recommendations that I've not seen in other reports looking at gang-based exploitation of children. And I wondered, what would you say to the people who think that there is no new information here? Because I would argue that there's plenty there.
Well, there has been plenty of evidence out there, but guess what? You know, people have been ignoring it. Now, there is no information and evidence in our report. But, you know, let's just remember of why this inquiry was set up in the first place. Because you have Labour, you know, that allowed this to happen. You've got the Conservatives that did absolutely nothing. And then you've got Nigel Farage, you know, saying he were going to do an inquiry, then weren't, and that we should wait 3 years until and if he gets, you know, a reformed government. We don't have time to wait. You know, this has been going on since the 1950s, and it's happening today and now. So then, you know, you've got Rupert Lowe comes along, who's just said, do you know what, we're just going to get on with this, and we're going to do it. And thank God that he did. Now, we might not have those statutory powers, but that doesn't mean that you can't help people. So, for example, to our inquiry, not only have we had the hearings and the report, we've started criminal investigations. They're already underway. We've started legal action against, you know, authorities such as the police and social care to ensure that survivors do get compensation, because their lives have just been absolutely torn apart. We've helped women move home. Some of these women are living on the same street as the men that raped them. They're not safe. And we've also gathered damning amounts of evidence and files, which is a good job we did, because as we know, all those files are now starting to be erased. They're vanishing. So can you imagine if we had to wait 3 years, you know, for Nigel Farage and reform to get into power? Much of that evidence will have gone. And how can you prosecute people when you've got no evidence?
I very much agree. And it's not been the only criticism of the report. And there's also been a noted media silence to some degree. It has had some coverage, that's certainly true. But you would think that a report of this nature on a topic as horrific as this should be a national flashpoint. It should be a national scandal. And yet there seems to be a deliberate silence from many mainstream media outlets. Do you think that this is something that they've consciously done?
Yeah, I mean, the only interviews I've done for media within the UK is Talk TV and Times Radio. All the other interviews, you know, people like yourself or people in America, you know, we're getting more support from overseas than, you know, people here. Why on earth are our media not covering this? We're talking about, you know, children being groomed, raped, tortured, trafficked. You know, they're raped by dogs, locked in cages. It's just absolutely horrific what's happening, and they're completely ignoring it. You know, when I was on GMB the other morning, I was actually instructed not to talk about the race of perpetrators. And I challenged that, and I asked why. And they said, oh, it's for legal reasons. And I said, well, no, because it's been proven in a court of law and in reports, and then he blamed Ofcom. So I went live on air. I told them that I'd, you know, been instructed not to talk about the race, and you know, I kind of just went out there and did it anyway. But yeah, why are they so silent?
Well, I think that people are worried, aren't they, that the way things run and as they know it is going to be upset by this, because so many people in power are implicated. There were long sections talking about how many Labour councils helped to basically cover it up, how the Conservatives failed to do anything tangible about it. And so I think many people in the mainstream media who have formed their media careers having relationships with people in these parties, of course, these are the two parties that have been in power for most people's lifetimes. And so I think there's a certain degree of self-interest there. But there have been some notable examples of people doing fair coverage, which is nice to see. But hopefully people will acknowledge the importance of this report and that it is a step towards bringing justice to the survivors. But I'd like to thank you very much for your time here and to speak to me and I look forward to seeing further developments with this ongoing process, because of course it's not just the inquiry report. There is far more, as you alluded to. There's private prosecutions, there's people being named in Parliament, and so hopefully this will continue and it won't go away. Thank you.
Thank you. And can I just thank you as well, and you know, all the team that's worked on this. So we had Graham Smith, our barrister, that drafted the report. We had Nat, Deb, Marlon, myself, you, Charlie, Harrison, you know, all put in our opinions and, you know, our efforts into it. So thank you very much to all of you.
I also would like to extend my thanks to the whole team, because of course I helped edit the report, and you've all been brilliant. It's been a pleasure to work with you all, and I think that we've been a part of something that's done a great amount of good for the world.
We've been a part of history, and that's important.
Thank you for your time.
Hello, I'm very pleased to be joined by Marlon West, who is our mental health lead in the Rape Gang inquiry. Thank you very much for joining us today. And obviously, the inquiry report has been a long time coming, and a lot of work has gone into it. How do you feel now it's released?
I do feel relieved. You know, myself and Samuel worked so hard on this. And I'm just glad it's come to an end. But also I'm glad it's come to an end for the voices of survivors.
And there's been lots of discussion about it online, less so in the mainstream media. And I wondered, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think they're doing this deliberately, or do they just think that there's perhaps nothing new in the report? What's your read of the situation?
I do think they're doing it purposely. I think there's a political game for this not to be out in the open. We desperately need it to be in the media, because we need voices heard of all these survivors. And I think it's really unfair that the media are not doing this.
So, as mental health lead in this inquiry, what was your role? Because I imagine that most people at home might not understand what that entails.
So, a little bit complicated in some ways. Prior to them doing witness statements, I would do a full risk assessment with them, making sure that we wasn't going to re-traumatise them to the point that they're a risk to self or others. So, we had to have clarity that we weren't, I guess, in some ways, endangering them further. But also, more importantly, when they give that witness statement afterwards, we gave them some support. Don't get me wrong, we wasn't a charity, but also we're very, very compassionate. And we care about the risk.
And of course, not only did you have this role in the inquiry, but you also featured in it as well. Would you be able to say a little bit about that, and almost a dual role in the inquiry? I suppose it gave you a perspective that most other people wouldn't have.
Yeah, so a lot of people possibly know this. My daughter was groomed from Greater Manchester from the age of 14 to 18. She was trafficked across the country. She was raped by over 60 Muslim men. Tortured. So obviously emotionally it was really difficult. However, I guess for me and my daughter, supporting other survivors, and again, and I'm repeating myself, to give them a voice. My daughter's got a voice. I've got a voice because we've been in the media, but a lot of these survivors haven't. So to give them that voice, I guess that were my therapy and Scarlett's therapy as well.
I'm glad to hear that it helped, and obviously it's no small thing to go out and talk about this thing, but to be so involved in it, I imagine, is quite something. So I have great respect for what you've done and your role in the inquiry, so thank you. And I suppose the final thing I wanted to ask is, what are your thoughts on how the inquiry report's been received? Because obviously it has circulated massively. Do you think that the survivors are happy with how it's been received?
Yeah, definitely. As the survivors, yeah, very happy the way it's been received. And I think what's really, really important with this inquiry, okay, it hasn't got statutory powers and it's independent, but there's no other report been done like this. And we have lots of reports out there, the ICSA, the J report, but we have been so transparent. This has had no political angle on it at all. And we have called out Muslim raping gangs, and we have called out the numbers, which other documents haven't. Which is one of the reasons why I think the media hasn't picked up on it, because everyone's terrified of being called racist. But, and I feel, again, really strong on this, it is everybody's responsibility to protect women and girls, and this document does that.
Thank you very much for talking to me, and thank you for your role in the inquiry. It's a really important thing, and I feel like it's one of those things that is a good first step to tackling this problem that has clouded our country for a very long time.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
Well, I'm here at Restore HQ on the wee hours of Friday the 19th, just waiting for the result to come in. Should be any time now. I thought I'd have a word with Josh Firm. So what are your thoughts and feelings? What do you think the result's going to be, and how are you feeling about it?
Well, my thinking is that it's probably going to be an Andy Burnham victory. I've had a lot of responses on the doors that have been Labour. I've seen lots of Labour signs. I've seen, quite frankly, an enormous Labour ground game. And they're obviously going to do quite well here. And I think with a big name like Andy Burnham, I think it's inevitable that they're going to do quite well. And so I would be quite happy with just a double-digit finish for Restore. I think that actually, as long as Restore proves itself as a party, that's more than enough for me. You know, they're still in a juvenile state. They're still only couple of months old, and so getting over 10% would be a phenomenal result for a party that young, and it proves that Restore is a legitimate electoral force. It's not just a party that is an online echo chamber, as some have asserted, or, you know, a one-man band that's limited to Great Yarmouth. I don't think that's the case. I think that it will travel. And I've been around with Rupert today a little bit, and the response from people, we were just walking down a street, several people just walking down a random street in Makerfield stopped, were amazed, treated him like a celebrity. And you don't get that sort of reaction with any old politician, do you? It suggests that something is changing. You don't have 1,000 people to turn up to canvass on a Saturday for just any old party, especially one as young as this. And it suggests that there's really something going on. And I think that although the story that the mainstream press will pick up will be, you know, maybe reform underperforms a little bit. Maybe Burnham has a surprisingly strong showing. It's difficult to tell the exact percentages. But the part that I'm interested in is how well will Restore do? And I think that, you know, anything over 8% is acceptable. Anything over 10 is good. Anything over 15 is phenomenal. And that's how I feel on the verge of getting the results. And, you know, I would like to think that we'd get something between 8 and 14%. And if it's outside of those bounds, I'd be quite surprised.
Okay. Yeah, no, interesting. I've been saying to people for the last couple of days, double digits will be good. I'm feeling like anything under 10% might be slightly underperforming. Anything over is great. That's my feeling. So, yeah, if we come third, and it's a solid third, beating out the Tories, the Lib Dems and the Greens sort of with ease, then that's solid. That's great. And, you know, it's well known, isn't it, that that sort of some sort of ceiling of 1, 2, 3%, if anyone ever breaks through that, anyone ever, that's something, that's a story, that's big. And it will prove that Restore is an electoral force one way or another. Do you think that's fair?
Absolutely. I think that that's exactly what is being set out to be done here, because, you know, it's a very safe Labour seat here. Mm. It's got a very strong Labour vote here, and it would be quite something to win. And I think it's one of the safest Labour seats in the country. It's been Labour for 120 years, as far as I'm aware. That's what I've been told, at least. I haven't verified it myself, but I certainly believe it. Having spoke to people around here, you know, it's an old mining area. It's got deep Labour roots. And so the fact that we can get these sorts of numbers in a place where you would presume that everything would be sort of antithetical to a good Restore showing, well, actually, the response has been very good, considering.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Josh. I know it's been a very, very long day for you. So thanks again, and fingers crossed, and let's see what the result is.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.